That was Desert Pete, as recorded by the Kingston Trio. That's one of your very favorite songs, I understand.
It's hard to say how much I love that song. Part of the reason being the banjo. The banjo is so flavorful in that song. And when you compare the two versions that you played, that is the major difference. Now, that banjo was one of the more difficult banjo parts that I learned on the five-string banjo. And I can remember early on in my tenure with the Kingston Trio, where I finally went to Bob Shane, and I said, "Bobby, let's repeat it for the show. I've learned the banjo part." And he said, "Well, let's hear it." So I played it for him, and he smiled great big. I said, "Had a hard time learning that part." "Well, that's because it's Glenn Campbell playing a six-string banjo, which is tuned like a six-string guitar. So there's a different interval available on the guitar than there is on the banjo, and it made for a longer stretch on the banjo to simulate that same sound."
Mm-hmm.
But Glenn was so tasty of the notes that he chose whenever he played anything. He's just one of those magnificent musicians.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was a studio musician with Frank Sinatra and Bennett and so many of the old guys.
Yeah, many recordings.
Now, another interesting sound that you hear on that record,
mm-hmm.
With the banjo that's shown here on the previous recording, is someone else singing a vocal part besides the Kingston Trio.
It's Buffy Ford in the mix, is it not? No, it's a woman, I think, isn't it?
Now, it's my understanding that it's Mike Settle.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Now,
singing tenor,
Mike
though.
Settle is.
He formed, he came out of the New Christy Minstrels, and he did some solo recordings, and he did a song called Settle Down, which I get that might be a bit of a pun, I don't know. He put his name in the song there. I know that. I think that's all I know about him.
Mike, the song Settle Down was recorded by Peter Paul and Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Mike wrote several songs that the Kingston Trio recorded. One that comes to mind instantly is Goo Ga Gee, which is on that same album as Desert Pete. But Mike Settle, after you mentioned the New Christy Minstrels and did some solo work, he was in a group called The First Edition with Kenny Rogers.
Oh, yes, I'd forgotten he was one of the original members of that.
And Mike Settle wrote, "I just dropped in to
mm-hmm.
see what condition my condition was in."
Mm-hmm.
Mike is a phenomenally talented man, both as a songwriter and a singer. He's got a real high voice. And that's what he was doing in that song, so that really high part.
Mm-hmm.
That's put back so far into the mix that it's very difficult to tell that it's a voice other than one of the Kingston Trio.
Mm-hmm.
Mike also produced two albums of Kingston Trio with Bob Shane, Roger Gamble, and myself.
Mm-hmm.
Those two albums being 25 Years Nonstop and Looking for the Sunshine.
Yeah, and you have the stock for Looking for the Sunshine available at your website on LP for those who have turntables. That's the only configuration that's available in, is it not?
That's correct.
Okay.
I have both of those albums, 25 Years Nonstop and Looking for the Sunshine.
So that's the website is timbergrove.com. People who are looking to bring their Kingston Trio collection up to date can go to timbergrove.com and look for those two LPs which are there. And George will even autograph them for you if you like.
That would be correct.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that's ordered through my website, I'm delighted if somebody wishes to have an autograph. I'm delighted to do so.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk about Carson and Van Dyke Parks, friends of yours. Van Dyke was lyricist for some of the Beach Boys recordings in the 60s. Heroes and Villains was one of his, and most of what was Pet Sounds, I believe. He has a number of lyrics on that, and also Smiley Smile, that era, 67, 68, for the Beach Boys. And he helps you out on your album In the Middle of a Life, playing keyboards on that, a piano. And one of the songs is written by Carson Parks, his brother. And I hadn't heard of him before. Got this CD, wonderful CD. I want to play a song now that was written by Van Dyke in about 1966, recorded by the pop group The Harper's Bazaar. This is called Come to the Sunshine, and Van Dyke Parks is playing piano in this. It's a really dense arrangement of a lovely pop song. It's called Come to the Sunshine.
I know that I love you. When
That's Come to the Sunshine, as recorded by Harper's Bazaar. It's a song written by Van Dyke Parks, who recorded a number of albums for Warner Brothers. And I understand he's one of your favorite recording artists.
Well, that he is. And he's become one of my dearest friends.
Mm-hmm.
Let me back up a minute. I've known Carson Parks for well over 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
Probably longer than that, but that's a nice round figure. Let's go with it.
Okay.
I met him when I was in Nashville. And I met him at a party. A couple of people said, there's another musician here. Oh, really, who's that? Carson Parks. Oh, really, who's that? Carson Parks wrote Something Stupid that was Frank Sinatra's first gold single.
Mm-hmm.
So then I learned more about Carson. First thing I learned about Carson was that he was an extremely, extremely bright man. And came from a very gifted musical family. Now, I didn't know anything about Van Dyke back in those days. So, when I was in Nashville, I did an awful lot of recording of demos with Carson. He had moved from Los Angeles to Nashville so that he could get into the country music scene. And the country music scene in Nashville was very political, very closed, and even though Carson was a very well-known songwriter, he wasn't permitted inside the circle.
Mm-hmm.
So, Carson is now pretty much semi-retired, and he has a home in the mountains of North Carolina, and he has another home down in on the coast of Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Has remained a dear friend all this time. Well, when I moved to Southern California and decided that I was going to pursue full-time the recording of what eventually became In the Middle of a Life, Carson said, well, let me give Van Dyke a call and tell him to help you. So Van Dyke and I got together on the telephone, and I told Van Dyke when I'd like to do a recording session when I was off the road from the Kingston Trio. And I told him that I would like to utilize one musician in particular on bass, and that would be Leland Sklar. So Van Dyke said, well, I know Leland's reputation, but I don't know him personally, but I'll see what I can do. He called me back in 10 minutes, and he said, oh, I got Lee Sklar for you, and I'll play piano for you. And that he did. So Leland Sklar became the bass player for 99% of that In the Middle of a Life.
Mm-hmm.
And Van Dyke played piano on, I think, three of the tunes, two
okay.
or three of the
cut. Well, I'll take time to hear a couple of the songs from that album now, In the Middle of a Life. What would you like to hear, our audience to hear first? George, let it be your pick here.
All right. One of my favorites on there is Carson's song, which I recorded earlier with the Kingston Trio.
Mm-hmm.
But in this version of Longest Beer of the Night,
mm-hmm.
I utilize steel guitar, and I do the piano work on this. And it came together as a song for me. I mean, it's a really fun song on this particular version.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here's George Grove from his album In the Middle of a Life in Longest Beer of the Night, written by Carson Parks. and that was Longest Beer of the Night, performed by George Grove. The album is In the Middle of His Life. I'd like to play the next track. This is one where Van Dyke is playing piano. One of my very favorite songs. About once a month on the radio show, I play somebody's version of it. Ralph McTell's. There's an English group called the Jackie and Bridie. I like, and I like your version too. I played that several times. Here, we'll play it again for our listeners who are new to the program. This is it's a standard now. Streets of London.
Well, a friend of mine over in England, when I told him I was recording the song, he said, "Don't do that. Don't do that. Nobody wants to hear that song again. It's been so overplayed."
Well, maybe in England, but not in the United States.
Well, it's interesting that when I sent him a copy of In the Middle of a Life, the first thing that he did after he got it and he played it through was he called me up and he said, "That's a great version. I'm glad you recorded it."
Mm-hmm. Okay. So
and I think mostly due to the fact that Van Dyke played the piano. He played a beautiful piano part.
Mm-hmm. And, well, here we go. It's Streets of London, written by Ralph McTell. This is George Grove's version. And that was Streets of London, as recorded by George Grove. The album is called In the Middle of a Life, and George Grove is on the phone with us today. He's a member of the Kingston Trio, has been for 23 years. And that album can be ordered at his website, which is www.timbergrove.com, or also, if you're want to catch up on the folk revival of all the artists, Limelighters, Weavers, Kingston Trio, Glenn Yarborough, Peter, Paul, and Mary, you can order the Rediscover Music Catalog at 1-800-232-7328. Now, the last verse of that song mentions a British war veteran, and I played that for Veterans Day last November. And we'll be playing it again. You have an entire album about veterans. I have not heard that yet, but I'll have to order that next time I send off an order to Rediscover. Can you tell us a bit about that album for oriented towards veterans?
It's called, and Ken, I'll be happy to send you a copy of it.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
It's called Where Have All the Flowers Gone, a Vietnam Veterans Memorial Album.
Mm-hmm.
And the history of it, interesting, at least to me, a friend of mine who is now deceased, his name is Terry Baskew, died very early, age of 47, of a heart attack. But Terry was a Marine that was over in Vietnam and was actually captured. He was a prisoner of war for a while, held in the tunnels of Ho Chi. And anybody who's read a book of that title, The Tunnels of Ho Chi, knows that these were tunnels in which prisoners were kept in total darkness. They were tortured. Many of them heard screaming, and they never knew whether it was the sound of their compatriots being tortured or whether it was just recordings. Terry escaped from the tunnels of Ho Chi and wandered around in the jungle of Vietnam for around a month, he believes, until he finally ran across a group of American soldiers. And he's not certain whether it was a month or whether it was 2 months or whatever, because the time period was so traumatic to him emotionally, as it was for so many Vietnam veterans, that it took a lot of psychotherapy to bring back part of his memory of that time. So he came to me saying that he would like to record the poetry that was actually written by Vietnam veterans, and could I put him in touch with Glenn Yarborough. All those who remember the folks names, especially the Limelighters, remember, of course, Glenn Yarborough. Glenn does a lot of voiceovers, has a lovely voice, and quoted his price to Terry and said he needed that money up front. And Terry came back to me and said, "Well, I don't think I can handle that." At that point, I said, "Well, I'll be glad to do it for you for free. Let's just make this our mutual project." So we started gathering the poetry of Vietnam veterans, and we found out two things about it. Number one, it was really lovely. But number two, it was extremely macabre, and it was brutal, and it was the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So we searched around and shortly thereafter found the poetry of Steve Mason, who is the official poet laureate of the Vietnam Veterans of America.
Mm-hmm.
And his poetry is just as in-depth, just as truthful, just as brutally honest, but is not quite as brutally invective as the poetry of the, shall we call them, non-professionals.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, one of the poems of Steve Mason was read into the Congressional Record when the wall in Washington, D.C., the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, was dedicated.
Mm-hmm. I know. I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I know a lot of poetry came out of the First World War, some of which was well remembered. I believe Jack London got started then. Robert Service is probably the best known of the World War One poets. I have read some, but it's been quite a while.
Well, art is supposed to imitate life,
mm-hmm.
and one of the best ways that we have of giving tangible evidence of our emotions is to create something with that, whether it's music, whether it's poetry, whether it's sculpture.
Mm-hmm.
And so this poetry of Steve Mason's came into being, and
mm-hmm.
we knew that if we're going to record an album of poetry, that it might be a little bit boring for people with the short attention span that a lot of us have. So the idea then was to augment the story of the poetry with music.
Mm-hmm.
And I called a friend of mine, Andy Elliott, who's a songwriter of three of the songs on In the Middle of a Life. And I asked Andy if he would write some songs when I gave him a line from the poetry or a story from that poetry. And he wrote some brilliant music.
Yeah.
So there are six songs, five of which were written by Andy Elliott, one of which was written by another fellow from up in the Pacific Northwest, and then the seventh song is Wearable Flower Song,
mm-hmm.
recorded by the Kingston Trio.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Andy Elliott, I guess that's the same as J.A. Elliott.
Yeah.
One of my very favorite songs from this album, In the Middle of a Life, is called Middle of the Night, and we'll hear that now. That was Middle of the Night from the album In the Middle of a Life by George Grove. A little bit of a mnemonic twist there. Middle of the Night, Middle of a Life. I get that a little bit confused, but a great song. Why do you put the instrumental bit at the beginning of that song? It's very interesting. I thought the song was over, and then it goes into something completely different.
Well, one of the things that Bob Shane told me was that when you hear a demo record of somebody and you really like it, don't change it too much.
Mm-hmm.
And on Andy's demo that he recorded himself in his home studio, he had begun that with, just as you heard it there, only he did it on the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And I mixed in a little bit of guitar, but it was mainly piano there in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And it just cried for sort of a low-key jazz piano approach
mm-hmm.
in that. And to me, it kind of sets the mood for reflection, what happened in this relationship, what's happened in your life.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's hear another song from this album. You spoke about art imitating life. Well, this is one that certainly does. It's part of your biography here. When I listened carefully to the lyrics, I don't think there's anything here that would not apply also to Jon Stewart, who came into the Kingston Trio after their biggest commercial success. It's called Singing Every Inch, and a bit of a calypso flavor here.
Yeah, this song was written by another, Andy Elliott from Colorado, and this songwriter, Jim Ratz, is also from Colorado.
Okay.
And we actually saw Jim, we were performing in Atlantic City at one of the hotel casinos there, and Jim was playing in a backup band to John McEwen in Atlantic City at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
This was back in the days where when you weren't playing music, you were partying.
Mm-hmm.
So Bob Shane and Jim Ratz and I were sitting at the bar partying, and I shall say only that we were very successful in
okay.
our efforts of partying.
Okay.
And when the evening wore down, we started recanting stories of the Kingston Trio and stories of our individual musical lives. And Bob Shane looked at Jim and said, hey man, I'll tell you what you've got to do. You got to write the story of the Kingston Trio. And Jim said, okay, I think I will. And in a couple of months, he had come up with this biographical sketch, musical sketch of the Kingston Trio.
Mm-hmm.
And there's hardly anything in it that isn't true.
Mm-hmm. Well, here we hear Singing Every Inch. And Bob Shane helps you out on this one, though. He's in the mix there, or playing an instrument. Let's see, what is he doing on this? It says here.
Bob is singing.
Bob's singing on this one, okay. Singing Every Inch. And that was Singing Every Inch. That's a track from the album In the Middle of a Life by George Grove, a member of the Kingston Trio, and now a solo artist as well. And that album is available at George's website, www.timbergrove.com, or at the Rediscover Music from Folk Era. They're 1-800 232-7328. You can call them up and ask for a catalog. They'll send you about a 50-page catalog listing all kinds of stuff from folk acoustic artists, mostly from the 60s, some new artists, but mostly from the folk revival. Okay, let's see. What do I have queued up here now? I've queued up something I wanted you to hear. Well, I'll pop it out and see. Oh, yes. You mentioned you liked that Ian Campbell song I played for you before. I'm going to play one more. It's a song that was also modified by the Kingston Trio. Johnny Ladd. Do you know which Kingston Trio song came from that?
No, which one?
Jenny Glenn. Is that, did I pronounce it right? Jenny Glenn. Is it?
I'm with you, Jenny Glenn.
Yeah, that's the one. Okay. This had a previous incarnation as Johnny Ladd, so there may have been a sex change there. Anyway,
I prefer to go out with Jenny than with Johnny. I see.
This is Johnny Ladd, as performed by the Ian Campbell Folk Group from Birmingham, England, formerly from Aberdeen, Scotland.
I got a farthing back again to buy some pack of weed.
And with you, my Johnny lad, I'll dance to the hold-up machine with you, my Johnny lad.
When old King Arthur ruled this land, he was a thieving king. He stole 12 bowls of barley meal to make a white pudding.
And with you, my Johnny lad, I'll dance the buckle-up machine with you, my Johnny lad.
That pudding, it was after Christmas, we'll solve it with plum. The lumps are to it, and gee, it's what figures there for fun.
And with you, my Johnny lad, I'll dance the buckles up machine with you, my Johnny lad.
Oh, Samson was a mighty man, he fought to cut his jaws. He won a score of battles wearing crimson flannel cross.
And with you, my Johnny lad, I'll dance the buckles up machine with you, my Johnny lad.
There was a man in Nineveh, and he was wondrous wise. He loped into a hawthorn edge and scratched out both his eyes.
And with you, my Johnny lad, I'll dance the buckles off machine with you, my Johnny lad.
And when he saw they were stretched out, he was gay trouble then. So he looked up to another bush and scratched him back again.
And with you, my Johnny lad, I'll dance the buckles off machine with you, my Johnny lad.
Napoleon was an emperor, he ruled the whole land and sea. He was king of France and Germany, but he never ruled by the sea.
And with you, my Johnny lad, I'll dance the buckles off machine with you, my Johnny lad.
On the royal tour of Glasgow, you should have seen the Queen playing football with the lads down on the Glasgow team.
And with you, my Johnny lad, I'll dance the buckles off machine with you, my Johnny lad.
The centre for the other side was scoring in great style. The Queen, she called a policeman and clapped him in the jine.
And with you, my Johnny lad, I'll dance the buckles off machine with you, my Johnny lad.
Oh, Johnny is a bonny lad, he is a lad of mine. I've never had a birthday in the night of 29.
And with you, my Johnny lad, I'll dance the buckles off machine with you, my Johnny lad. And with you, my Johnny lad, I'll dance the buckles off machine with you, my Johnny lad.
That's the Ian Campbell Folk Group. The song is called Johnny Ladd. It's from their first transatlantic album. This is the Ian Campbell Folk Group.
You know, another reason that I really like the Ian Campbell Folk Group, and it just dawned on me when I was listening to that particular song, they remind me so much of the Weavers.
Yes, very much influenced by the Weavers. One woman, three or four men singing, the emphasis in the treble voices, one bass, but mostly treble baritone voices. Very much influenced there. And you know, another group from the United States, probably the first to have a really big influence that I really enjoy, is the Gateway Trio. Are you familiar with them, George?
You mean the Gateway Singers?
Yeah, Gateway Singers, that's what I mean. Well, they later became the Gateway Trio in the 60s, but Lou Gottlieb was with the group for a while. I believe it was Travis Edmondson. It may have been Bud Dashiell, but I think it was Travis Edmondson.
Yeah, Travis Edmondson.
Was with them previous to Bud and Travis. Do you know who formed that group? It was Barbara Dane, who has a successful solo career and is still with us. I don't know if she's recording anymore.
No, I did not know that. I about four or five years ago, I met Travis Evans, and he's living in the Phoenix area.
Mm-hmm.
And he's had several strokes, so he's not in the best of health. But Travis is still... Travis is still Travis, I think, is the best way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, for my entire tenure in the Kingston Trio, I was best of friends, just dear friends, with Lou Cockley.
Mm-hmm.
I learned so much from him. Lou was like a father and a brother, personally, as well as musically.
A terrific sense of humor. That comes out on his albums. I understand in life he was just the same. Very
he
funny.
He was different off stage than he was on stage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, received his PhD from University of California in Berkeley, which is no mean feat in itself. And he was fond of saying that he wrote his thesis in musicology on 15th century cyclical masses,
mm-hmm.
thus proving that at an early age he had grasped the commercial element of music.
In an email, Frank Hamilton mentioned to me that he was the inventor of what he called the autonomous C chord. Is that something you're familiar with? Sounds like a joke to me, but I'm not sure what either Frank or Lou is talking about there. I'll have to ask and see. Do want to play a track or two from this Crazy Horse album. Haven't touched that one yet. Let's see. How about the... where'd it go? Here we go. Rolling River. That's one you performed in concert in Portland, and in most of your concerts you're performing. And you performed that with the writers on at least one occasion. I saw a photograph of the website where the authors were there.
Yeah, the author.
Author.
Brownie McIntosh, very dear friend of ours up in New Hampshire. And Brownie is one of those people that, just like me, was so influenced by the Kingston Trio at an early age that he didn't want to do anything with his life except play guitar and banjo and sing and write folk songs. And he's continued to do that throughout the years. In fact, for whatever is going to become my newest recording, Brownie and I wrote a song together for it.
Mm-hmm.
Dancing to the Beat of a Broken Heart.
Mm-hmm.
But Brownie has so many songs that are written in that grand old and familiar old Kingston Trio style. And Rolling River is one of them. And as soon as we heard it, we knew that we had to record it.
Okay, well, here we go. This is the Kingston Trio in Brownie McIntosh's Rolling River. And that was Rolling River, as recorded by the Kingston Trio on their Live at the Crazy Horses album. Is that one that's available at your website, George?
I don't believe I have a picture of it up, but anybody that would like to get it can obtain that. Okay. Yes, they can.
I do know it's in the Rediscover catalog, so...
Yeah, I have copies of that available.
Mm-hmm.
If they were to email me, my email address is available on the website. Mm-hmm. I'd be glad to send it to you.
Well, I know among, let's say casual Kingston Trio fans, if you ask them what their favorite song is, it'd probably be Tom Dooley or MTA or maybe Scotch and Soda. They are the real dedicated fans. A survey was taken about 8-9 years ago. What is their very favorite Kingston Trio song? You know which one they selected, George?
I think I do. Was it maybe I know. Chilly Winds?
You got it. Chilly Winds, a John Stewart song. And this is the one I meant. Here we go. This is Chilly Winds. This is without the orchestra. I'm not sure if you've heard it exactly this way or not.
Shine my light on cool Colorado rains. Out where them chilly winds don't blow. If you're feeling lonely, if you're feeling low, remember that I love you more than you will ever know. I'm leaving in the springtime, won't be back till fall. If I can forget you, I might not come back at all. Out where them chilly winds don't blow. Out where them chilly winds don't blow. Where them chilly winds don't blow.
That's Chilly Winds, and that is the version from the College Concert album. I was getting that confused with the next one coming up here. So that was the version that you learned and perform several times a week, most weeks. We'll be probably performing that five or six times next week in Japan, Tokyo.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another one of those songs that every time I play it, you know, I don't really think about what it is that I'm doing at that very moment. I think back to the first times that I heard that song on a College Concert album.
Mm-hmm. Great album. I hope that there will be some songs that were unreleased from that concert that come out when that comes out on CD. Six of the John Stewart albums, by the way, with the Kingston Trio, are due to be released on 2-on-1 CDs later this year. I'm looking forward to that. There were 8 albums on Capitol, and the 2 that are being held back because they have a whole bunch of possible bonus tracks, and they won't be able to fit 2 of them on 1 CD with the bonus tracks. And one of them is an album called, Something Special, which was done with orchestra. In all probability, they'll be releasing it in 2 versions, one with the orchestra, one without, and then the live album back in town. But some of the tracks from Something Special were released on this Capitol Years. That'll play one of my favorites here now. This is One More Town, and it was on the album Something Special with Orchestra. Here it is called Without the Orchestra.
If there's one more town, I'll be going. A fight for the winning, I'll be there. If there's one more song, I'll be singing. I'm always going, but I don't know when.
Keep moving on.
I spent 17 years in West Virginia. 8 more years just to run and free. But the girls back home in their blue gingham dresses only heard one thing from me.
If there's one more town, I'll be going. Fight for the winning, I'll be there. If there's one more song, I'll be singing.
I'm always going, but I don't know when.
Keep moving on.
Went down to New Orleans last summer on a flatboat and working my way. There were well-mannered ladies and streets that were shady, but for me, I never could stay.
If there's one more town, I'll be going.
Fight for the winning, I'll be there.
If there's one more song, I'll be singing.
I'm always going, but I don't know when. Sailed
going up to New York on a schooner, but I wouldn't be staying there long. There were bright city lights and girls in pink tights, but their faces were all painted on. If there's one more town, I'll be going. Fight for the winning, I'll be there.
If there's one more song, I'll be singing.
I'm always going, but I don't know when.
Keep the moving,
no, 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 I don't.
That's called One More Town. It was written by John Stewart and performed by the Kingston Trio with orchestra on an album called Something Special on Capitol, 1962. There, that version was without the orchestra, before the orchestra was dubbed in there. Any comments on that, George?
Yeah, it's actually the same version.
Yes, it is. It's the same take, but the entire album, the tapes exist without the orchestra, and in all probability when it comes out, it'll be issued the same on a CD, both versions, maybe back-to-back, maybe all one and all the other, but we don't know for sure.
Ken?
Yes?
I am getting to a point where technology is going to fail us both. I'm getting the red light on my telephone that says
oh.
The battery is going.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, really appreciate your time, and might do this another time.
I would love very much to do this. I'm having a ball with this, and if we can continue this when I come back from Japan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I've got a 90-minute tape almost filled up, and with the that'll make for about 2 hours of programming. So I'll call you in about 2 weeks, and we'll do a bit more. Covered most of the songs I wanted to, but there's probably some you wanted to discuss, and I'll collect together the disc I did not bring tonight and play them for our audience. Really appreciate it, George, and I hope a lot of our listeners will be calling to order that In the Middle of a Life CD and the Where Have All the Flowers Gone veteran CD. And I wish you a good tour and all kinds of success in the coming years.
This is going to be a great tour. I'm looking forward to going over to Japan. We haven't been there in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And let's email each other when I get back from there, arrange a time where we can do this again. I'd very much like to continue.
Mm-hmm. All right. And I'll listen to the songs I'm not so familiar with, so I'll be a little bit better educated on next time around.
Maybe I'll do the same.
Okay.
If I get my CD player repaired.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, George.
Ken, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
The pleasure's mine.
Good day.
Okay, bye-bye.